Hallelujah. 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 Everybody okay? Okay. Now I want you to talk to me a little bit. I want you to talk to me a little bit. I'm going to talk to you for a few minutes about greatness. About greatness. About greatness. 1 John 4:4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome him. And talking of the evil one. You are of God, little children, and have overcome him. Because, everybody say because. Oh, I love the because. This is how you have overcome him. This is how you overcome anything in your life. You overcome addiction. You overcome struggle. You overcome alcohol. You overcome sexual perversion. You overcome pornography. You overcome sickness. You overcome depression. You overcome anxiety. You overcome fear. You overcome anything, whatever comes against you. You are God, little children, and have overcome him. You have overcome him. You may not. It didn't say you may. If you hold your face right, he didn't say you might if you do the right things. You have overcome him. You are of God, little children. He called us children. You are one of his children, Sister Helen. You're one of God's kids. You are of God, little children, and have overcome him. Because, everybody shout because. This is the $1 million because, okay? That's just an oxygen thing, guys, okay? Because greater, everybody say greater, is he that is in me than he that is in the world. How many knows that God is greater? We often depict the devil as this equal foe to God. And God gets up every day worrying about his battle with the devil. Let me tell you, read the book. God already overcome that slew foot. He already overcome. It's not that he's going to overcome. He already overcome him. And the overcomer lives inside you. Greater is he that is in you. So, you just read the word. God is great. How many knows that God is great? If God is great and he lives in you, that makes you great. Oh, well, Pastor, I don't know about that now. I'm just getting by. We serve this great God, this awesome power entity, greater than anything in the universe, who created the universe, who spoke it into existence, who his power is present, living among us, living in us, this great power that we worship and adore, we sing about, we preach about, we write about, we read about, we paint about, we picture this great and mighty God who lives in us. And yet we just get by. I talk to people all the time. Pastor, I'm just getting by. God wants you to live not in the place of just getting by. God wants you to know who you are, who lives inside of you, and what authority he has given you, and what victory he has given you. You don't have to let your present situation define you or overcome you, because Jesus already overcome. How many believe that? I said, how many believe that? Talk to me. Talk to me. So, I got a question to ask you. I need you to talk with me just for a few minutes. So what would you define, who or what would you define as greatness? Come on, I want your interaction. Who or what? Maybe this will be a refuel, okay? And by the way, if you've been missing refuel, shame me. Because you need to be a part of that. I'm telling you what, man, there is other level stuff that takes place on Wednesday nights. So by the way, that's just a punch there. So who or what would you define as greatness? I want to hear it from you. Come on. You know what? Yes. And that's an honest answer coming from there. But listen, not all of our answers in here are probably spiritual that's going through our mind. Okay, come on, let's be real. What would you define greatness, or who or what? What was it?
Someone that fills the potential that God has set out for us.
Okay, woo, that's a good answer. Come on, talk to me. I know it's a little bit different. Come on. I can't believe all these people in here got all these ideas, and now everybody's clamming up and nobody's saying nothing. LeBron James. See, I told you everything in here wasn't just spiritual. I love it, don't you, Josh? That's exactly. do you hear Josh? Anything else? Juan, come on, shout it out. Jesus, okay? That's the ultimate answer. Peyton Manning, okay. Okay. Do what? Iron Mike Tyson, okay. Now, the reason I'm asking you this question, because the way you define greatness is different than what God defines greatness as. We define greatness many times how big our homes are, how much money we've achieved, how many accolades or degrees or notoriety we have. We define greatness as how well we are known or how well we're liked on Facebook. I think that's right, isn't it? You like them or don't like them, and you see how many likes you get. That's why people do crazy things, so they can see if they can out-like somebody else. And sometimes people define their greatness by how many times they're liked.
God wants to take and make you the best you can be for Him.
Amen. That's a good answer, isn't it? Amen. So we define greatness different from what greatness God defines greatness. But let me say this, and I want you to turn to John chapter 14. You say, Pastor Art, is that the only book you know how to read out of? And somebody said, well, why do you keep saying the same verse over and over again? Maybe when you start living that verse, I'll stop using that verse. Amen. You start believing that verse, and I'll stop using that verse. No, but I'm not going to stop using that verse. Okay? Now, how many, you don't have to stand for this. If somebody's found it already, because, has anybody found it? Anybody like to read it for us? Come on, raise your hand. We don't have much time here. We're managing our time. Okay, Kevin, thank you. And my shoes are untied. Sister Lena, I might jump out of them here in a minute.
Well,
verse 12, my brother.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall be, do he do also, and greater works than these.
You've got to slow it down, Kevin.
Back up. Down to 10 miles, okay? He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also.
All right. How many cannot deny that Jesus did great works here?
Amen.
Keep it right there. Let me borrow this 1 second. How many cannot deny that Jesus did great works here? Come on, talk to me. How many knows that Jesus did great works while he was here? He did great works. You know some of those works. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He fed the multitudes. He declared the word. He gave hope to the hopeless. He gave life to the lifeless. He raised the dead to life. He walked on water. He defied the natural laws that inhibit this earth, because he was not defined by those laws. How many knows he did greater things? He did great works. Everybody say great works. Now there's a clincher there. He just read it. We must believe. You got to believe the works that Jesus did. Well, I believe everything in that Bible. Oops. That's easy to say, because we're taught to say that. Believe everything in the Bible. But yet we have we have doubts and discrepancies about the very scripture that we promote and we preach to many. So it's one thing to preach the word and say the word, but it's another thing to live what we believe the scripture says. And Jesus says, do you believe I do these great works? Do you believe that? He's talking to 12 disciples here. He said, do you believe I've done these works? How many believe that Jesus has done great works? Jesus is still doing great works. Amen. Look at next door. How many knows that Jesus did a great work? Jesus, before your very eyes this morning, raised the dead to life. Two people got up out of the dirt. Odie came in the building this morning and said, Pastor, I'm getting up. I'm ready to get up. I'm not going to hold back anymore. I'm ready to give up. He came and made that decision this morning and finalized that in his faith before him and his God. This other sister who came and gave her life to Jesus, Darlene's sister, she gave her life to Jesus. You witnessed a great work. Everybody say great work.
And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father.
So greater works will you do, he do. Everybody say, me. All right, come on, man. Take your hand, your right hand, put it on your heart. I think your heart's here. It could be flipped over. I don't know. But say, me. God has destined greatness inside you. I'm not talking about money, wealth, and that may be something in your destiny or purpose. I don't know. It may be a platform. It may be something that God used. But that's not what God defines as greatness. What God defines as greatness as those who know the greater one lives in him and walks in that destiny and greatness and changes the world around them. Amen. Greatness. God has destined you for greatness. 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 Wow, you know, it's hard for us to believe that God would do or want to do anything great in us. And I'm going to talk about that just a minute. Because we have allowed many voices to scream into our lives from the time we were too young to remember to the day that we heard that Jesus loved us and would receive us and come to him. These voices and these influences have been a great part of our life, even though we didn't plan them out. One time in history class, it was American history, and I was a junior, in high school. I sat in the class of a teacher that I respected. I respected his family. His brother was a previous coach. And I sat in that class, and I respected him, Bobby. And actually, there was a class of about 20 kids in there. He went to every kid in the class and personally opinionated or his definition of success in that kid's life. He told which kid would fail and which kid would succeed. I was one of the kids that was not on the list of success. And so, but many people throughout your life have told you that you're no good. You're no good. Your family's no good. You're no good. You're broken. Nothing good about you. And maybe you haven't grown up hearing those voices. But voices around you, people around us, do speak into our life. Do try to influence what we are and who we are. So this morning, I'm saying we don't allow outside voices to determine our present purpose or our future destiny, because that's in God's hand. God already determined that in your life, the greatness. You say God's great. God lives in you, which makes you great. I didn't say we always did great things. God knows that. And I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself. So let me reel it back in just a second. In the late 70s, early 80s, probably the late 70s, a young man by the name of Michael Jordan, raised in a rural area in North Carolina, in the eighth grade, was cut from his basketball team. Now, some of you in here may have never even heard of MJ, Michael Jordan, I don't know. But maybe if you've never heard of him, maybe you haven't always lived on this planet. But you may not be a sports fan. You may not be an athlete. You may not care anything about that. But most people have heard about Michael Jordan. And in the 90s, they used to have this commercial says, "I want to be like Mike. I want to be like Mike." Let me tell you, it should be the desire of every believer, every person here today, not to be like Mike, because we all have heroes. We all have people that have been raised to prominence and walked in success, and we've defined those people as being successful. One of them was Kobe Bryant, and somebody said nobody was greater than Kobe Bryant. But let me tell you who Kobe Bryant modeled his life after. Mr. MJ. I want to be like Mike. And maybe he took it to another level. I don't know. That's people's opinions. But I will say this. In the eighth grade, he was cut by his coach and said, "You're not good enough." But he didn't allow somebody else's opinion of him to influence his destiny or his purpose. God determined that in my life. Oh, greatness keeps the company of greatness. Where's that picture? Greatness. I've sent this out about lions, you know, going together and lions traveling together. You know, people want greatness in your life. You've got to determine who speaks mostly into your life, who influences mostly in your life. If you've got negative that influences you, if you've got negative that speaks into you, if you've got negative that lives before you, then you've got to understand that it's not a great formula. A great atmosphere of success and greatness Great people always migrate to greatness. They always levitate to greatness. You notice that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know why the men that hung around with Jesus did great things? Because they hung around the greatest. They saw him do the things they wanted to do. If you want to do those things, hang around the people that does those things. And guess what? You'll do those things. You won't have to be going looking for them. Where's greatness? Where's greatness? It'll just follow you. It'll gravitate to you. Because greatness can walk into the room and change the atmosphere of the room. Jesus could walk where there were dead people, and dead people started getting nervous. You ever seen a dead man nervous before? Listen, dead men start shaking in the dirt. You know why? Because the one who had power over death was in their company. You know why people, when people are so full of God, walk in the room and they start talking about Jesus, you know why some people get up and say, excuse me, I believe I've got something in my throat. I've got to get that out of my throat. You know why that happens? Because the greatness of that anointing makes the atmosphere uncomfortable for those people that are not living in their greatness. Amen. Come on, can somebody shout amen? I preached this word inside the prison the other day. Oh, I love it. I love it when God does that. And to the company of people who most of their life have been said, they'll never amount to anything. They'll never measure up. They're not good enough. And I told them that does not define them. Your present situation doesn't define your destiny or your purpose. We never see greatness in us because, everybody say because. Sometimes we can't see it because it's obscured by our present circumstances. Our sin, our failure influences the greatness, potential greatness in us. Underlying that failure in circumstances is the greatness that God always put there. And your failure doesn't define what you really are, who you really are. If you're struggling with a sin, that's just a struggle. That's not your destiny. That's not who you are. You see, God in his ability, his all-knowing, all-seeing ability, looks beyond your mess and sees the message that he wants to extract, to use, to influence others. Because you've been down doesn't mean that you're out. Because you messed up doesn't mean there's a message. Because you failed doesn't mean you have to give up. I'm getting up. I'm getting up. Becky, oh, you got to find this woman. You are the best in the country. And I know it. I want you to find the dot. Just the one dot on a white background. Odie, you know I would never embarrass you. Stand up. Odie and me had lunch the other day. He'd been going through a lot of stuff. God always told me there was greatness in him. He's always known that. He's always said awesome things, Kathy, about the Lord. Has everybody always said everything good about you? They still don't, right? Welcome to my world, okay? guess what? You're in great company, because they didn't even say that about Jesus. In fact, they called him the devil. They called Jesus the devil. They called him Beelzebub, the devil. They called him a winebibber. They called him whatever. They called him an heretic. They called Jesus many things. But Jesus was confident in who he was. So, circumstances. And sometimes, did you fall? Oh, yes. Okay, thank you, Becky. Everybody give a hand to Becky. I want you to watch this. And this was actually done in a classroom by a professor in a college class. Given a huge test, he handed out the paper, and he told everybody to keep the paper down until they were ready to take the test. And everybody received the paper. The professor said, okay, turn the paper over. And they turned it over. Instead of seeing pages full of questions, difficult questions, they only saw a dot in the middle of one white page of paper. And he says, I want you to write about what you see. That's it. That's all he said. I want you to write about what you see. And everybody in there wrote about, guess what? Everybody scream it out. Come on. Because the first thing you see is the dot. How many will be real with me? That's what I see. That's what you see. That's what other people see. Can I tell you? That's what they see in your life. They just see the dot. That's what they see in my life. Just the dot. That's what you see in other people's lives. Just the dot. But can I remind you? And after the end of this paper, he took them all up and they commented and he explained to them it was a setup. But what he would have, everybody wrote about the dot. Nobody wrote about all the white around the dot. We can spend all of our life worrying about the red dot, worrying about the dot, worrying about the dot, looking at the dot and saying, my life is just wrong. No, your life isn't all wrong. There's been wrong in your life, but that doesn't define who you are. Come on. You think I'm playing today? Are you with me? Amen. When the coach looked at Michael Jordan, he saw the dot. But Michael did something. He defied natural law. He became determined and disciplined. He became determined and disciplined that he would not allow the opinion of a person influential in his life to speak cursing in his life, because he knew there was something wrong inside of him. He didn't understand it all. He couldn't figure it all out. How many knows that you've got a lot of good raw stuff inside of you? You may not see it. You may not understand it. But God says it's there. And he sends these crazy old pastors. And today I'm not just saying pastor. Pastors. To keep squawking in your valley. You were made for more. You were made for greatness. God put greatness in your DNA. Don't settle for anything less. Don't be mediocre. I'm just going to get by. I don't want to stand before the Lord and say, God, I missed a lot of things, and I just got by. God don't want you to live in a place of just getting by. Well, I just go to church every now and then. I put a little bit in the plate every now and then. Makes me feel, you know, sort of good. Makes me feel like I've done something. Oh, Jesus. Jesus said, I see greatness in you. Come on, stand up, Chandler. You've never been able to say it, see it. How old are you? Don't say it. I know you're nervous. I know you don't want anybody looking at you. How old are you?
15.
And some of Chandler's life. Come on, mommy, help me out here. Don't leave me now, mom. Some of Chandler's life has been told most of his life that maybe he'll never measure up. Maybe he's not good enough. But how many knows that anybody that God makes and puts on this planet, God has a plan. And his plan is for greatness. God wants to do great things in your life. Shut the devil up. Did you hear me, Tammy? Shut the devil up. Quit listening to those voices. Every now and then, those voices are those old ghosts of our past will try to raise their head and say, you've messed up too much. Who do you think you are? What do you think you're doing? Oh, what are you trying to do? You're nothing but a big hypocrite. Listen, I think if you're a real believer and if you've never been called a hypocrite, I would doubt that you've ever been saved. Come out. Has the devil ever called you not real? Because maybe you didn't pray enough. Maybe you wasn't faithful enough. Maybe you didn't give enough. Maybe you didn't do this enough, do that enough. But note this, your greatness, your potential is never determined by your present circumstances. And your greatness is never determined by your past experiences. That's your past. And how many knows everybody in here has got a past? Everybody over here raise their hand. Not a person over here raise their hand. So I guess nobody over here has got a past, right? You're ready to fly. Woo! How many knows we all got a past? Come on, get real. How do you expect God to get real with you if you're not real with him? Talk to me. What? You're going to pray about that. That's called a lying spirit. We only see what our past experiences tell us. And our past, some better than others, some worse than others. Some of us in this room have had horrible past. We've suffered sexual abuse, physical abuse, mental, emotional abuse. Some of us have been raised without parents, true biological parents. Some of us in this room has been strapped by horrible addictions, drugs, alcohol, different kinds of addictions. We've had horrible past, and some of us in this room maybe have had good past. But whether they've been good or bad, it doesn't determine the greatness that God put inside you. God put greatness in your DNA. You are your father's children. My kids are going to always be my kids. I don't care how many times in their life they wish they could have disowned me. Ooh. I don't care how many times in their life they wanted to kick me off of their parental boat. I'm their dad. Kathy's their mom. Nothing changes about that. They're our kids. And if they don't believe that, just go take a blood test. That's all they got to do. Because my DNA, her DNA, is in them. It's been passed down. Guess what? Listen. listen, guys, I've not even been standing that long, and I'm ready to tie the boat. And you all act like I've been preaching 3 hours. Come on. Guess what's been handed down to you and I? Yeah, let me tell you, when I come to Jesus, he hooked me up to his blood. He took the old blood out and gave me a transfusion. Now I've been bought by a price. I've been washed in his blood. Are you with me? I said, are you with me? It's time to shout. It's time to get up. You have royal blood through your heart. You are not your sickness. You are not your sickness. I'm going to tell you this. Don't get mad at me, Missy. Don't you ever call that my sickness anymore. It's the truth. It's a trespasser. Whatever is coming against you is a trespasser. And guess what? In reality, it can't walk over the blood. Greatness. Everybody shout greatness. Oh, Jesus. Phew, hallelujah. I don't even deserve this. I'm going to have to sit down. Hallelujah. Whoa. Great has been defined as above the normal or above the average. There's nothing normal or average about Jesus. And if he lives in you, there's nothing normal or average about you. I've been criticized because we're not like all the other churches. Guess what? I promise you, and don't mean this in a bad way. Don't get mad at me. I don't want to be like all the other. I want to be who God created and destined us to be. Did you hear that? Jesus didn't fit everybody's mold. He didn't fit the religious mold. He didn't fit society's mold. But Jesus defied his limitation that man had placed upon him. We've settled so long for a mediocre life. Just settling. Now, I'm going to use an example here, and we're going to tie the boat right here. Hallelujah. Okay, I'm going to tell you something. I want you to listen to this quote. To get something great, to get something you've never had, you've got to do something you've never done. To get something you've never had, if you've never had Jesus before, then you've got to do something you've never done. And what is that something you've never done? Just put your trust in Christ. You don't have to go down to the bank and sign, three groups of pages, 10 pages thick, signing your life away, promising this, promising that. You just simply come to the cross, come to Jesus, and said, Jesus, I'm broken. I know you have purpose and destiny for my life. I come to receive that for my life. Oh, Jesus. Are you with me today? To get something you've never had, you got to do something you've never done. Which In our life, we create things. On Wednesday night, two or three weeks ago, we started talking about that. We create something called comfort zones. Because everybody in this room has a comfort zone. I can tell when you're getting uncomfortable. When I get close to some of you, I can tell when you're getting uncomfortable. Because you start getting nervous. You say, what Pastor Art going to do? What is he going to make me stand up? Is he going to make me say something? Oh, what's he going to do? You gotta start. Greatness gets uncomfortable being comfortable. Because greatness always strives for greater. Greatness always strives for greater. And greater things, Kevin Red, will you do? Not saying that the things Jesus did are not important. They are important. But what Jesus is saying, those things you believe I've done, even greater things will you do. You're going to do the greater because I'm the great and I live inside you. Therefore, you're going to lay hands on the sick. You don't have to muster it up. We don't have to just dance around and do a rain dance and pray that the greatness come down. The greatness already lives inside you. Just do what Jesus said. Lay hands on the sick. Speak to the dead. Speak life. Life is in you. So today, let me use this. Don't settle in your comfort zone. God wants you to get out of your comfort zone. We can get comfortable in our dysfunction. We can live so long in a state of dysfunction that we're comfortable there. We don't want to change. But if you want greatness, if you want to walk in greatness, you got to be willing to do something you've never done before. And I'm tying the boat right here. I need just a few guys. Just a few guys. We don't have to have 12. I just need a few guys with me. Come up here on the stage with me. Come on, real quick. I'm not going to go around. I need you up here on the stage with me right now. So all these men, how many knows that? Let me talk just one brief moment about a man who never thought he was great. His name was Peter. How many's ever heard of Peter? Peter messed up a lot. Now listen, Peter's one of those believers or followers, you'd say, he's not really a follower. He'd get mad. He could say a few words to you. He could get in your grill. You rub him the wrong way, he'd say, come on, boy, let's go outside. That's who Peter was. He was a roll your sleeve up, let's get it on. Until he met Jesus. And then Jesus had to just do a transformation, a work in his life. But Peter was always a work in progress. And he came a long way. So one day Jesus meets the disciples down to the seashore. And he sends them out into a boat. He set them up to show what greatness was. He sent him out into the boat knowing there was going to be a storm. Greatness knows what to do in the presence of tragedy or crisis. They always levitate to their hope. Guess where your hope is today? Your hope is in Jesus. It's not in a temporary thing. Your hope is eternal. Steve, your hope is eternal. And so Peter and the rest of them went out in the boat, and the sea got rough. It got rocking wavy. Come on, I'm going to ask you all to do some kid stuff right now. Okay, man, the boat was rocking and waving. Come on now, man. Come on. Come on. The boat was rocking, and there was men on the boat, and they got scared. These were fishermen. These were men who knew the way of the sea, but yet they were in danger. What are we going to do? Then they saw this, what they thought was a ghost or a spirit, come walking on the water. Here came what they thought a spirit appearing on the water. And they began to wonder, cry out, what is that? We're in the middle of this storm. Now there's a ghost. We're having a visitation from a spirit out here on the water. And as the figure got closer, Peter. Oh, and I didn't mean to call you Peter, but I'll just call you Peter, so. I defined his character a while ago. But Peter saw it was. And Jesus assured them it was him who was walking on the water. And they thought they were hearing things. And Peter said, Jesus, is that really you? If that's you, let me do what you're doing right now. Oh, let me do what you do. That's cool, Jesus. How many knows that people don't walk on water? How many knows that people do not walk on water? Look at the law of physics. Look at the law of displacement. Heavy objects do not stand, listen, and walk on water. I've seen those lizards walk on water before with those big feet. You know, they just, man, like a motorboat running across that water. I don't even know what they call them, but man, they just fly across the water. But I've never seen a man walk on water. But Peter did. Jesus walked on water. Jesus had power over whatever physical restriction that would try to limit him. He created this thing called gravity, by the way. He created gravity. He created water. And if he wanted to, he could walk on it, okay? And so Peter says, if that's you, let me come. And Jesus said, then come on, boy, get out of that water. Get out of that boat. Come on, Peter. So Peter, listen. How many knows it takes great courage to do the things you've never done before? Listen, church, God has called us to do things. He's given us prophetic words. I've asked others to do it, and others wouldn't. But I blessed you, and I'm going to bless you, because you were willing to do those things that other people refused to do. So we're going to get criticized. We're going to get opposition. But we're going to do the things that God called us to do, even though there's opposition to our progress, because Jesus told us we could get out of the boat. So listen, there's other disciples here on the boat. Come here, gather around the mast. Grab a hold of the mast, guys. You're still rocking and rolling. The boat's rocking and rolling. Water's getting in the boat. Water's getting in the boat. Wind's blowing. These guys are hanging on, and they're looking at Peter and saying, you're a fool. You go walk on water, you're crazy, dude. You're crazy. You know what these men were? They were comfortable where they were. The boat was comfortable. Listen, you've lived in a boat all your life that you're comfortable with. But God says if you're going to do great things, you've got to be willing to get out your boat and walk on water. Come on, don't panic, King. Help me out. I preach my voice out and you're panicking. They were comfortable where they were. But Peter says, okay. And he made that great step of faith. Every step we take for Jesus is a great step of faith. Yes, there's fear there. Yeah, you're facing fear. You're facing I can't. You're facing voices that said it couldn't be, it shouldn't be, maybe it won't be. But yet something inside of you says, I have been designed for greatness. And I know something great lives inside me. I'm following the one that's greater. And if he says I can, Brie, I can. I'm going to leave your baby here just a minute. See? You've been in that boat. It's been rocking. Water coming in. Wind blowing against your face. You can hear the thunderous crack of light, a thunder, and see the streaks of lightning fill the sky. You see the climate and circumstances around you has changed. But God says, my plan hasn't changed. Because I planned and I have destined greatness in your life. Why would you believe the voice of the enemy? Why would you believe the voice of your skeptics? Why would you believe the voice of naysayers who speak into your life and says it can't be? God says, I'm living in you. And because I live in you, you can do all things through me. Because I will give you the strength to do whatever you need to do. So let the storms rage. Let the waves rage. For I'm with you. And I said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And you wrapped your heart around that word. So don't doubt me now, the Lord says. Because surely I will lead you out. And I will get you through the storm. In fact, I've made you to walk on the water, to do things that others around you are not willing to do. So he walked on the water. Oh, Jesus, I didn't know it was that late. I'm sorry. He walked on the water. Peter walked on the water. And man, he was walking. I don't know how far he walked, but he was doing a great thing. Nobody had ever done it before except Jesus. God says, you're going to do great things. He says, you're going to lay hands on the sick. Don't be surprised when that happens, the Lord says. Don't let your jaws drop in awe at those things that happen. Remember what the man of God said earlier. For I'm always about the greater things in your life. Why would you be distracted by things that should be commonplace in your life when I've destined you to do great things in my kingdom, to change the world around you? And it's because I've destined you for greatness, to do great things. Listen not to the voice of the devil. Listen not to the voice of your enemy. Listen not to the voice of your skeptics. Listen not to the voice of those who try to reason and doubt in you what I've purposed in you. So Peter walked on water, and I don't know how far he walked. But then things changed. Oh, things changed. The storm got intensified. It got greater and greater. And the waves started bouncing up on him and splashing on him. And the wind was nearly blowing him under. And you know, he looked just for a second off. He just took a second. How many knows it don't take you long just to look off? Are you with me? Are you with me? Don't think that you won't fail. Did you hear me? Great people have learned through failure. And if you don't believe that, ask Thomas Edison one day. I don't know if he's going to be in heaven or not, but it'd be an interesting question. Because it took him 2,000 times to learn how to make something that you use every day by just slipping the switch on. But he tried 2,000 times. And people said, the news, the media said, Mr. Edison, you failed at this thing 2,000 times. He said, no, I didn't. He said, I just learned 2,000 ways, not how to make a light bulb. Great people fail. Don't let somebody tell you you won't fail, you won't falter, you won't fall down, you won't mess up. But when you do, learn how to get up and stop quitting every time you fail. Every time you fail, you want to quit. We have so many people that come. They come to the altar, they find Jesus, and they walk out, and they mess up, and they quit. They start stopping church. They quit being faithful. And I talked to them. They said, I messed up, Pastor. When you mess up, you fess up, and you get up. Because you're going to fail. You're going to fail. Yes, Miss Lakin, you're going to fail. Your pretty self is going to fail. Yes, you are. You're going to mess up. You're going to mess up. How many knows we're going to mess up? We've messed up too many times to count. But I'm not going to stay down. And I'm not going to stay out. Because God has destined me to walk in greatness. And today, I want you, as we tie the boat right here, if you've messed up, then you just simply fess up. You simply come to God. You say, well, I'm struggling with this problem. It's bigger than me. Yeah, most problems are bigger than you. But greater is He that is in you. Greatness lives in you. So you're an overcomer. You're going to overcome whatever comes against you. You're going to overcome. Because you were made to walk on water. But I'll tell you this right now. Peter did something that nobody else did, even though he was criticized for it. The others stayed on the boat, but he did something. He went to the cross upside down, dying for the cause of Christ, knowing that he did something that no one else did before him. You'll never walk on water until you get out of your boat. You'll never walk on water until you get out of your boat. And that means you've got to get uncomfortable. And I know I rattle your chains. I know I mess with you. I know I get in your grill. I know I challenge you. You ought to thank God for that. You ought to not take that as a curse, but a blessing. Because I see something in you that you don't see. Do you believe that? Are you with me? Amen. Come on, give God some praise here today. Everyone in this room is ordinary. We're all ordinary. We're just regular people. But God's called you to do the extraordinary. God's called you to get out of your boat today. And there's a calling of God on your life. He's called you. Jesus called you. He's saying today, it's time to leave your boat. It's time to walk away from your comfort zone and say, I'm going to walk in the greatness that God has purposed for my life. I'm going to defy voices and skepticism, my past, my failures, my present situations. I'm going to leave the company of those who have tried to define me and say that I'm not. today I'm going to do that. And today, if that's you, I want you to just be real today. Because everybody in this room is on a boat. Everybody in this room's on a boat. Are you ready to leave the boat? Wow, this boat's awful comfortable, Pastor. There's a lot of shark out there. A lot of darkness out there in that disturbing waters. But I'm going to walk on water today. I'm going to get out my boat and I'm going to do things that people and past and failures have told me that I can't. Today, I'm going to defy those voices and I'm going to get out my boat and I'm going to walk on water. As a church today, as a group of believers, if we're going to go to the next level, we got to be willing to leave what we're comfortable with and get out of the boat and go to where Jesus is today. Are you with me? Are you with me? If you're with me, get on your feet. Oh, Jesus. I said 30 minutes. I've been 45 minutes or more. I'm sorry. How many is ready to listen? It's more than just raising your hand and saying, "Oh, I'm going to walk on water and we'll come up there." It start, yes, believing it first, but then it start dedicating your life to walk in greatness. Discipline your life to walk in greatness. Be determined to walk in greatness. Be determined to walk in greatness. My heart's pounding. Put your hand on my heart.
Wow.
You know why? Because I'm in the company of greatness here today. I'm in the company of greatness. I'm sitting among great people. I see greatness in you. I get frustrated sometimes as a pastor. I get frustrated because you don't see it. You're satisfied with the mediocre, just getting by. And I do get agitated sometimes. I do get aggravated. Can I be real with you? I get aggravated. I get agitated because you're settling. You're just satisfied with the mediocre, just getting by. But God says, I purposed you for greatness. So today, if that's you, your chair right now is your boat. You've been comfortable here for 45 minutes or so. Maybe you're not comfortable. It's time to get out of your boat. Zoe, if you don't care, I want you to stand right here, man. I know God has been doing great things in Zoe. Lately, man, you've been out of your element, haven't you? You've been out of your comfort zone, ain't you? For a long time, Zoe would tell me, I'll come sometime. Pastor, I'll come sometime. I'll think about it. I'll come sometime. And here he is. Because God called him one day and said, get out of your boat, Zoe. And here he stepped out of the boat. And some of you here today are in a boat right now. I'm going to ask you to, I'm not going to count, but if you're there in the boat, it just simply means you got to let go of whatever you're hanging on to. And I don't know what that is. Whatever you're holding on to, just let it go and trust God that he's going to take care of you. Okay? If that's you today and you need to get out of your boat, I want you to get out of your boat. Listen, if we fill this altar, fill this whole section, I want us to do it right now. If you're comfortable where you are, you say, well, I've been doing, come on, right now. The Holy Spirit's calling you right now. Listen, you know who you are. You're sitting there comfortable. You know who you are. I'm comfortable. Well, I do this. I do this. You know, I do that. Listen, God's not keeping count of what you do and what you don't do. I'm just saying, if you have a place that you're comfortable, let it go right now and start walking. Start walking right now, right now, right now, all over this room. Right now, right now, right now. Right now, God said, I'm going to do great things in you. Believe God that He's going to do great things in you. Believe God He's going to do great things.